Amen. That was good singing. Well, let us turn together for a short time this evening to Colossians and to the chapter 3. Paul's letter to the Colossians and to the chapter 3. And we have been working our way through the epistle and through this third chapter. And we have even given an overview of the third chapter alone. And so we've been moving down to that section of the chapter that really concerns the submitting of the Christian. And tonight I want to take up our reading at the 18th verse. And we come to an important section in Paul's letter to the Colossians and in this third chapter. So Colossians 3 and the verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Amen. We land there at that first verse of chapter 4, and may the Lord bless his word to our hearts this evening. I want to draw your attention to those first couple of verses that we read together this evening, verses 18 and 19. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. And so we're coming tonight to consider these verses of husbands and wives. And it draws attention there in verse 18 to the wives first. So whether we have time to get to the husbands tonight, I'm not so sure, but I promise you, ladies and wives, I will get to the husbands, even though we're starting off tonight with the wives. But in this portion of God's word, we have been looking at the section concerning the submitting of the Christian, and in those different areas and aspects of our lives. But we find that in the writings of the Apostle Paul, the Savior is always at the very center. The centrality of the Lord Jesus Christ is that predominant theme throughout, of course, all of Paul's writings, but we can see it particularly here in Colossians chapter 3. It's very evident. For example, glancing there to the verse 13, and he's speaking about forbearing and forgiving. And at the end of that 13th verse, he says, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And so at the very heart and basis of our forgiving one another, it is as Christ forgave us. And so the focus there is upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Then when you look at verse 15, it speaks there about the peace of God. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And Paul has already taught us there in chapter 1 and the verse 20 that it is the Savior having made peace through the blood of his cross. So the peace of God is really a reference to the peace that the Lord Jesus Christ has purchased for us on Calvary. And so you have there the Savior at the very center again. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And so he makes reference again to the Savior, to the word of Christ. And then in verse 17, you'll find reference there to the name of the Lord Jesus. And so you can see by just glancing down those verses that in everything that the apostle is referring to, he has Christ at the center of it. That's how it ought to be. The centrality of the Savior. As verse 17 there puts it, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And so in every aspect of our lives, what we say and what we do, it's to be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the Savior is to be there at the very center. And then immediately in this portion where we started tonight, the Apostle Paul reaches into the home. And he reaches into the family. And he commences here with the marriage relationship. You see, our Christianity not only changes individuals, but our Christianity changes homes. It transforms our homes. And it has been said that the strength of the nation depends upon the strength of the home. And the illustration has been given that as the family goes, so the church goes. And as the church goes, so society goes. And as society goes, so the nation goes. So there's the importance there that right at the very foundation is the home, and is the family, and is the marriage bond. You know, a mark of the end times will be as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man, when they were marrying and giving in marriage. And it's a reference to the immorality at the end of the age. And whenever Paul wrote to Timothy that second letter, and in the chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3, and he's speaking about the perilous times that shall come, you can see that it also involves the home. And as he lists some of those characteristics of those perilous times and of the last days, he includes there disobedient to parents. And in 2 Timothy 3 and in the verse 3, it says, without natural affection. And being without natural affection, it's referring to the unnatural affection, that which is a distortion and a perversion of the marriage relationship and of the marriage bond as God designed it. And so what we're witnessing in the days in which we're living is the breakdown of marriage and the breakdown of the family and of the home. And we can see that great decline within society. And therefore, one of the greatest works that we could ever be involved in is the building of the Christian home. And Paul comes to address that here when he speaks to wives and to husbands. And thank God the Word of God gives direction to wives and to husbands, gives us instructions for the home. In the portion that we have read together tonight, you could see Paul referring to six different roles there. He's got the husband and the wife in verses 18 and 19. And then in verses 20 and 21, there's the children and the fathers, or as he puts it in Ephesians, it's parents and children. And then in verse 22, he refers there to the servants. And in that verse 1 of chapter 4, it's masters. And so you have husbands and wives and parents and children and masters and servants. He's grouping them here into three pairs. And in each turn, Paul comes to address those pairs. And the pair before us tonight is that of husbands and wives. And so as we think about that, and we may just come to our first thought tonight, and I will have two further thoughts next week in the will of the Lord, but just to think tonight about the relationship. And here we have the reference given in verse 18, it's wives, and in verse 19, it's husbands. And that relationship takes us right back, of course, to the Garden of Eden. And it was God who first instituted marriage. Marriage was founded by the Lord. Marriage was designed and planned by the Lord. We know in Genesis chapter 2 that the Lord took Adam, took man, and put him to sleep, and took from his side that rib, and from the rib he made Eve, and he brought Eve to the man, and Adam knew that Eve had been taken from him, and he said in Genesis 2 and verse 23, she's bone of my bones, and she's flesh of my flesh. And it was the Lord who brought them together. And in Genesis 2 and the verse 24, the Lord said, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And there tonight is marriage from that biblical perspective as God designed it and as God planned it. The relationship that God's word reveals to us between a husband and a wife. And that relationship today is something that is under attack, and you don't need me to tell you that. It's under attack today not only by the devil and the breaking up of marriages, but it's under attack today because they've sought to redefine marriage. Even though it was the Lord who instituted it, man has taken it upon himself to redefine it. And I would want to state tonight that we hold to the biblical perspective of marriage that is between one man and one woman in holy matrimony. A husband and a wife together in the Lord and united in the Lord. And there is no closer union, no closer human union. That intimate relationship between a husband and a wife. It's actually used in God's word to illustrate that relationship between the Lord and his people. And even in the Old Testament scriptures, it was the Lord himself who drew that illustration. In Isaiah 62 and verse 5, just by way of example, it says, and as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. And speaking about the Lord's ancient people, and the Lord uses the illustration of the bride and the bridegroom rejoicing over the bride as the Lord would rejoice over his people. It's John the Baptist and John 3 and verse 29, who calls himself the friend of the bridegroom. The bridegroom. That's the Lord. And then in Corinthians, as Paul was writing in 2 Corinthians in the chapter 11, the apostle Paul there in the second verse, he says, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And Paul, in referring to God's people at Corinth, he uses that relationship of the husband and the wife to speak about that relationship between the Lord and his people. And of course, when you go to the very end of the Bible, to Revelation, the chapter 19, and to the verse 7, it's speaking to us there about the bride of the Lamb. Revelation 19 and verse 7, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." And verse 9 says, "And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." And so that relationship between husband and wife is a relationship that is not to be taken lightly. That relationship is given such a prominent and important place in God's precious word. We have noted some of the references there to that relationship between the Lord and his people, but the Apostle Paul, in writing his letters, we can see it here in Colossians and also in Ephesians chapter 5. Paul speaks directly to the husband and the wife. The Apostle Peter, when he was writing in 1 Peter chapter 3, those opening 7 verses, he devotes to that relationship between husband and wife. And all of those references indicate to us something of the importance and the value that God places upon that relationship and upon the home and upon the family, and the necessity of harmony between the husband and the wife, and the necessity for the husband and wife in that relationship seeking to honor the Lord and putting the value upon that marriage bond and that relationship that the Lord himself puts upon it. And so there's the relationship there that's referred to. But I want you to notice the responsibility, because within that relationship, there is responsibility. Responsibility placed upon the husband and placed upon the wife. And there's a great deal of detail that's given in the Word of God, but we're seeking, just for the sake of time, to look there into verse 18. And we read there, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord." And wives here are addressed first. We would, if we're using the expression, we wouldn't say the wife and the husband. We would say the husband and the wife. We would have the husband first. But when the apostle comes to address that relationship and to bring the responsibility, he speaks first to the wives and then to the husbands. And the reason for that is that in each of the three groups that we've already drawn to your attention, the Apostle Paul deals first with the one under authority. He deals with the one under authority. When it's husbands and wives, he starts in verse 18 with the wives. Whenever it's to do with the fathers or the parents and the children, he starts first with the children. They're under authority. And whenever he's speaking about masters and servants, he starts with the servants. And so in each time, he's starting there within the three groups with the one who is under authority. And we could say that the apostle is dealing with the one first who perhaps is the more difficult role and responsibility to fulfill. Because wives are called upon here in verse 18 to submit, and to submit themselves unto their own husbands. And so it's a matter there of authority. It's a matter of headship. That's, of course, not a popular thing today. All of these efforts and calls today for women's rights, and their call for rights, whereas we would draw attention to responsibilities and roles before the Lord. And so we can see the responsibility upon the wife is that of submission. And that word submit there is a military term, and it means to arrange under rank. Submission is not to be slavery. No, submission is arranging in an orderly way, and it's arranging under rank the way you would do within the military, and therefore it's to do with authority and submitting to authority. Now we say, whenever we refer to this, that the husband and wife are equal. And the wife is not inferior to her husband, and women are not inferior to men. No, we've learned already in this study that with the Lord, there's neither male nor female. We're all equal in the eyes of God. But we must have different roles and responsibilities before God. And in that role, which is a God-given role, the wife is called upon to submit to her husband and to be placed under the headship of her husband. And the man, the husband, must take on that headship and that leadership within the family and within the home. He's the head of that home. He's the head of that marriage. You probably, like me, have been at weddings when the speeches are made, and that joke is used that, oh, they say the husband is the head of the home, but the wife is the neck that turns the head, and everyone laughs. But whenever the wife takes on the role of the husband, it's reversing the order that God has set. And really, the neck is that which is to support the head. And that would be the proper use of that illustration. But in relation here to that submission of the wife to her husband, I want you to glance over with me to 1 Corinthians and the chapter 11. 1 Corinthians and the chapter 11. And when you look down to the third verse of this chapter, we find that there are three statements here. And they're all relating to this submission or this authority. And in 1 Corinthians 11 and the verse 3, Paul writes, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ." There's his first statement. The head of every man is Christ. And here's the second statement. "And the head of the woman is the man." And then the third statement, "And the head of Christ is God." Now there are three powerful statements, and the apostle says, "I want you to know them." Now if you just thought about that third one there, it says the head of Christ is God. Now whenever you dwell upon that particular statement, you might be thinking in your mind, well, I learned from the catechism, and I've learned from God's word, that there are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one God, the same in substance and equal, in power and glory. Equal. Of course they're equal. And yet we're reading here in this portion that Paul says the head of Christ is God. And yet we know that the three persons in the Godhead are equal. But here the Lord Jesus Christ, in the great plan of redemption, he submitted himself to the Father. And in that sense, by way of headship and authority, the Father sent the Son. And the Son was willing to come into this world. And the Son submitted himself to the Father as part of that great plan of redemption And he willingly submitted himself to the Father. And Paul put it to the Philippians, and he said, he who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. And there is Christ submitting himself to the Father. And that's why on earth he was obedient to the Father. That's why he could pray in the garden, not my will, but thine be done. And he who was equal with the Father put himself under the authority of the Father, became obedient to the Father. And wives, that's the principle upon which you submit to your husband. You're equal with your husband, yes. You're not inferior to your husband any more than Christ is inferior to the Father. But with that same submission, you're to submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And that's the role and responsibility that the Lord has given. That's what God commands. And to give that proper foundation to that marriage relationship and to the home to be upon that proper foundation, that's how God has designed it. And we're there in 1 Corinthians 11, and we're looking at those three powerful statements. And if you take them in reverse order, it says the head of Christ is God, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of every man is Christ. Then Paul goes on to speak in 1 Corinthians 11 on some practical matters that flow from that submission, and how that the head of the woman is the man. And in those very next verses in 1 Corinthians 11, he said, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one, as if she were shaven. And so the Lord is showing here that in relation to that submission, where the woman is to be in submission to her husband, you can see that the practical matter flowing from that is the distinction between men and women when it comes to worship. And the man is not to have his head covered in the place of worship. He dishonoreth his head. But the woman is. The woman is to have her head covered in the place of worship. Otherwise she dishonoreth her head. And that comes from that submission. And therefore, in the Free Presbyterian Church, we hold to the head covering. And in these days, we hold on to those principles, even though many others are abandoning them. We want to hold to them, believing them to be scriptural. And so furthermore, the man, the husband, he is to be in submission to Christ, as the woman is to be in submission to the man, and that is shown even when it comes to the place of worship, yet the man is to be in submission to Christ. And I say that the wife will have no difficulty submitting to her husband if her husband is in submission to Christ. And that's the plan that God has. That's how the Lord designed it to be. And that's how the Lord desires it to be. And you see in our Bible reading, and we've really just got to that 18th verse, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. It's fit in the Lord. It's appropriate in the Lord. It's what the Lord there desires marriage to be. The relationship and the responsibility. And we just leave it at that point this evening. And next time we'll take up at verse 19. And it's the responsibility there for husbands. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. May the Lord bless these few thoughts to our hearts this evening. We're going to sing a couple of verses of another hymn.